Church, oh my goodness. Are y'all ready for that, Warrens? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, Miss Teela's going back there too. I lost count. Isn't that a good thing? They're so excited. Boy, I wish they would. I wish y'all would fall down when I were preaching with excitement and all that. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this beautiful? This is wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this. I love this time of year. We're going to be looking at Palm Sunday today, but not in the normal fashion. I think y'all already kind of figured that out. This preacher, you never know what he's going to come up with. That's right. Make some of them deacons nervous over here. That's all right. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew this morning. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 20. Is it 20? Yes, 20. 21, I'm sorry, 21. And verses 1 through 11. So if you would, please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, the triumphal entry. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, we start. And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road, and the crowds going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Thank you for your word, Father. May it pierce our hearts, bring us to our knees. Encourage us, Lord. Lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. A donkey. Those of you who have the King James Version, there's a different word there. Don't go there. we tend to just take our attention off what truly matters. But the text, did it really just say donkey? I can see a white stallion or a camel that had adorned, or even an old gray mare, but a donkey? I mean, we're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I just think it's pretty amazing. I want us to take a step back, that this is truly the first public acknowledgement of Jesus as of Nazareth as the Messiah, and he comes as is predicted in a way that seems just a little bit silly. Think about it. That's a little silly thing, a donkey. And God had chosen to fulfill his plan by Jesus riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and that had never been ridden before. So what is the meaning of this? Well, for one thing, I think it makes the messianic claim unmistakable. And it just wasn't every day, I'm sure, that people rode victoriously in on a with streets, and the crowds were just, "Hooray, Hosanna in the highest," when it was a donkey. Yeah, it's going to be about the donkey today. But I like to think there's another message for us here today. If God can use a stinky, stubborn little donkey in the triumphant fulfillment of his plan, then just maybe he's got a plan for you and I. You see where this is going, huh? But here we are. The question I'd like for us to consider for us this morning is, how does a donkey become fit for the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and how can we be made useful for him? That's what it's about. There are three important things that make this donkey fit for royal service. And they are equally important for us. See, first, the donkey is selected. Matthew 1, 2, and 3 said that it was selected. He was selected by prearrangement. This was prearranged, and Jesus had clearly made arrangement to use this donkey ahead of time. I think it's kind of like cloak and dagger. It's like, man, what's the code word for this? The disciples are going, what? Go get a donkey? They're going to shoot us. You don't just go take a man's donkey. Jesus said, go get it. Tell them the Lord has use of it. It was prearranged. So the point is that this specific donkey had been set aside for a noble purpose. It was selected. But the donkey was also selected by prophecy. If we look at verses 4 and 5, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. We look in Isaiah 62, and it says to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, gentle and mounted on a donkey. Even the colt, the foal of a donkey, a beast of burden. So 550 years earlier, Zechariah had prophesied about this little donkey as well. It comes out of Isaiah, comes out of Zechariah, and we see this, that God had a plan, and this donkey was selected by God to play a part in his overall. Ladies and gentlemen, he has selected us too. We go to John chapter 15, verse 16. The Bible tells us, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Here's where it gets a little sticky. To go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, the fruit that I normally deal with rots after a while. Can't sit there too long and get fruit flies. But this is fruit that will last. Ephesians 2:10 reads this way, for we are God's workmanship. Oh, I love that. You and I, those who are saved, those who know Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do this, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Not works for salvation. This means it's already happened. Now that you're saved, there's work to do. There's work to do. You may have been chosen, we have been chosen not only for blessings, but the Bible is very clear we've been chosen for service as well. It's very clear. There's a lot of work. There's people dying every day without Christ. That's the kind of work we're talking about. See, you may not be a king. I'm not a king. I'm not king of my house. That's okay. We're king and queen together. You may not even be a Sunday school teacher. Thank you for those as well. But serving in other capacities, but I know this, God knows you by name, and he has a plan for each and every one of us to serve him, and he has prepared in advance good works for you and I to do. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Not sorry. I don't apologize for this. And I don't make it up. All too often, all we do is come in, do our little duty, and we go back. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's fine. That's okay. I'm not going to beat you down for that. But that's not what this is about. Ministries for the lay people too. And I will go out on a limb here. If ever you lead one person to the Lord, you will not ever get over that. You will not get over that. Right, Brother Brock? Ain't nothing like it. So, we next notice, though, that the donkey who was selected is also sanctified. We look into the scriptures, he was sanctified by preservation. Mark 11:2. Let me go there. It says, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. This was an unbroken colt. Now, there's some harsh people in here. Who'd want to get on that little colt? Riley? Luke? Uh-uh. What's the matter? It would buck and snort and kick. You just don't. Are you kidding me? Let's think about this. You will find a colt tied there which no one has ridden in ever. So such animals of this in Jewish tradition often had a very special religious significance. Okay, and because they had never been used for any worldly purposes, it was set apart. It was sanctified. We must, as Christians, be separated from the world to be useful for the Lord. I didn't say we are not going to be in the world, but not of the world. We are different. We are separate. And that's what makes us special, to be able to be used by the Lord God Himself. Not for our purposes. It's for His. 2 Timothy 2:21 reads this way. If a man cleanses himself from wickedness, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. But there's an if in there, wasn't there? That's one of those conditional things. It says, if a man cleanses, and this is women too. This is the anthropos. That's the mankind. Y'all got that, ladies, right? It's not gender. This has nothing to do with gender. If a person cleanses themselves from sin, golly, we get to be an instrument used for noble purposes, made holy, sanctified, useful to the master for good works that he has already prepared. It's also necessary for us to preserve our time and our energy. Yes, serving the Lord is hard work. And so often we just kind of give them the leftovers. You didn't say that, did you, preacher? Oh, no, don't go there. I got to work hard all day. See, I understand that. And I appreciate that. I do too. But we don't bring the leftovers to God. We bring the first fruits. We don't bring the leftovers. He desires our first fruits. So being sanctified also means being prepared for the Lord's use by preparation. So we see here we're sanctified for all of these things, but by preparation, Matthew 21:7 reads this way. I'm going to get my... I love this. And Jesus brought the donkey, the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. So the donkey was being prepared to carry Jesus. That's what's happening here. And by doing this, we need to be prepared too. And how do we become prepared? I'm getting down on this one. I don't need my notes on this one. It's called making disciples. You didn't go there. Yeah. See, it's hard to make disciples in 30 minutes. Making disciples Sunday evening, Sunday morning for Sunday school. It's not just a gathering for coffee and donuts. No. It's the Word of God being taught, making disciples. Making disciples happens on Wednesday nights we hear with us. Oh, my goodness. It's an awesome thing on Wednesday nights. If you're not a part of this, just come and see what's happening. And Sunday nights as well. We're going to be talking a lot about that in the next couple of weeks. If you come on, what do we do? We need to make disciples. We're being sanctified. We're being prepared to serve the Lord. Bible's very clear about this. Jesus told us, he said, what? Go therefore and make disciples. 1 Peter 3:15 reads this way, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Are you ready to give an answer for the reason that you have hope? Do you have hope in your life? Do you have hope? We're dead this morning. It's falling flat. Do you have hope? Are you ready to give an answer for the reason that you have hope? Are you? Can you defend your faith? I hope you can. That's part of being prepared. It's part of making disciples. It's part of the donkey being prepared to carry the Lord's. You see, it's good stuff. I'm telling you, the donkey's a pretty cool little dude. Spending time getting to know the Lord in prayer and to study His Word prepares us for His use and allows the Holy Spirit to work in us to sanctify us for His service. There's a glory. Making disciples. Frankly, or finally, to be useful for the Lord like the donkey, here's the one. The donkey must be willing. See, that donkey didn't have to be willing, did it? Yeah, them horse people here, never been rode before. I played basketball, FFA. What was that, donkey basketball? Y'all ever seen that? Some of you, raise your hand, you ever been there? I'm not the only one that's fool. There are other fools in here. I think them things were trained to throw you. Uh-huh. And if the donkey don't want to move, it ain't going to move. I don't care how hard you pull on this thing. But the donkey must be willing. And so must we. So we see the donkey. How can that be? It's the Lord. It's a God thing. The donkeys are not known for their submissive temperament. So the donkey must be willing to present himself. Truth be told, we're not known for our submissive temperament as human beings. And it is worth noting that this donkey presents himself to the master to be used. Like we must present ourselves to the Lord to be used. Second Timothy 2:15 says this, present yourself to God. Present yourself to God. Romans 12:1 reads, therefore I urge you, brothers. That's a strong word in the Greek. I urge you, brothers, and it's a strong word in the American language, English language, in view of God's mercy. Now that puts it in perspective. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now we can hear the pin drop. On carpet, no less. Yeah. See, Jesus, He has chosen us, but He will not work against us. He wishes for us to present ourselves as what we've just described here in the Scriptures, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. But He plays just a little part in that. His job is to lift up Jesus so that Jesus, see the donkey, the job of the donkey was to lift Jesus up so He can be seen by the crowd. Are we lifting Jesus up with our lives so those out there can see Him? Boy, there's a lot of parallels here, huh? Did you see any of this coming with a donkey? No, I didn't think so. See, we have that similar role. That's part of God's plan, by the way. Not to be exalted, but to exalt Christ. To make Him seen by the world. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast. Oh, my goodness, Paul. Paul, how's that Corinthians study going on right now? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross. This is His cross. See, it's empty right now. It's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, it's empty. In fact, it probably wasn't even built. And where is Jesus heading with this donkey? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus warned us in his Sermon on the Mount not to be like the religious people who did their good deeds to be seen by men. Very, very clear there in Matthew. And then the good works that the Lord has prepared in advance for us are works that bring glory to his name and not our own. Let me pause for a moment there. I keep hearing it. Praise God. I hear people saying there's some good things happening in Spring Hill. I need to go here. I need to stay this way because it's not about me. It's not about you either. But it's about what we do. Huh? He does. We get to be used by him. And when we stay in that position and always remember it is about God's glory, not our own, then we're going to continue to hear there's good things happening at Spring Hill. For God's glory. Once we've removed ourselves, we do the work. Woo! It's good stuff. See, like the donkey, we must be satisfied with a very humble part in God's overall plan. That donkey played an important role. It was selected, sanctified, and willing. So what, Pastor? Been talking about a donkey for now for 20 minutes. They smell kind of stubborn, not too bright. They really aren't that great. Kind of small, too. You can't really do much with them. Mules you can use, right? Horses, a donkey. But Jesus used a donkey in the most triumphant public moment on earth. Understand that. And he could have chosen to ride in on a white stallion, as is done in the book of Revelation. That's going to happen, y'all. Oh, that's going to happen. He's coming in on that white stallion, I promise you, but not right here. He had to go to the cross first. A humble, broken man. Broken for the sins of the world, yours and mine. And he could have chosen to use a camel decked out in what we call sumptuous velvets. They dress the camels up that way. That's even more noble than a donkey. You got to be kidding me. He chose the donkey. I know I'm not a white stallion. I don't know if there are any here either. There's not even any old gray mares. I don't know if you ever really thought of yourself as a part of God's great plan, grand plan, but we know we are. The Bible says to fulfill a part of his plan prepared for us in advance. The Bible said that. So here's three things for you. You've been selected to him by him to fulfill a part of his plan prepared in advance for you. Scripture said that. You are to fulfill that role. You need to be, to do that, you need to be sanctified, set apart, prepared for his service by separation from the world's evil and commitment and our commitment to him. That's the problem a lot of times nowadays, ladies and gentlemen. This non-committal society we live in, I'm just going to call it like it is. We got a society that's non-committal. I want to do what I want to do. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. I wasn't part of the notes either. Third thing, you must be willing to take the role of a servant. See, Annie Armstrong. In 1 year, she wrote 18,000 letters. And that was before Microsoft Word. That was by hand. My goodness. So are you willing to take the role of a servant, fulfilling God's plan for God's glory and not of your own? Here's what you do. If God can use a donkey,
then I know that he can use you and I. He's proven it. He's proven this before. Let me give you some interesting points to consider. There are 6 different words for donkey in the Hebrew language, and there's 2 in the Greek. Normally I do this during this, right? Not at this moment. No, there's a reason I'm going to do it right here. 2 Peter, you see, this donkey had never been ridden, and the Greek word tells us that it was considered a beast of burden as one under a yoke. 2 Peter uses the same Greek word for the donkey that he referenced to Balaam. Now, you want to talk about a bad dude? Unrighteous man was Balaam. You know what he was doing to that donkey? He was beating the snot out of him. Because he didn't want him, he wasn't going where he wanted. And the donkey just had enough. And he turned around and said, "Why are you beating me?" Here's what blows me away. And I can give you a sermon on Balaam's donkey, by the way. And Balaam. Balaam answered him. "You gotta be kidding me. Like it was no big deal." We just finished reading that, didn't we? Sometimes I think we treat Christ like Balaam's donkey, not going in the direction that he wants us to go in. There's a lot there, more than I can unpack right here. See, this donkey, and I believe it was a firstborn colt, by the way. I truly believe it, and I'm not the only one that believes that. It wasn't spelled out, but I believe it was a firstborn, and I have some of my closest friends in the pastor in the preaching world. How can we make such a statement? Well, if you have your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. This is like the nail on the head right here. Exodus 13, verse 13. "But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem, you shall redeem with a lamb." Amen. "But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." You see, in reference to Jesus' messiahship, officials use donkeys for civil and peaceful travel. They did. Not military processions. And this is what they were believing. This comes out of 1 Kings. They were believing this was the king who was going to take Rome and just throw him out. So thus the text is not really a triumphal entry in the sense of a Roman triumphal procession. It is Jerusalem's reception of a meek and peaceful king. And here's what we can say about this. There is no mistaking that Jesus proceeds into Jerusalem as the anticipated king, the messianic son of David. But here's the triumphal entry, ladies and gentlemen. Palm Sunday. The coats being laid, the branches being laid. That comes out of 2 Kings chapter 9, which King Jehu, when the people heard from the Lord that he was going to be their king. See, in this entry, here's a triumph. It's ironic because his victory, Jesus' victory, will come through the way of the cross. And he used a donkey to do it. The question becomes, and to begin with, are you even a donkey? Huh? Are you even saved? Have you made that public? Have you walked down this aisle and said, "I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior"? Because until then, you're not even a donkey.
the firstborn foal of a donkey, the lamb was sacrificed for it. Let's close this. Ladies and gentlemen, for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sanctified. Your lamb, my lamb, was slain. The cross is empty now. Modern day. Here we are. Oh, my goodness. And that cross is available for everyone to come to kneel before, to call on his name to save, to bring our burdens to him. He will lift us up. He will encourage us. He will take care of us. I don't know how people get through life without Jesus. I don't. And even those days that we do have him, sometimes I need him a lot more often on some days than other days. But he's always there. And I want to be his best donkey in the field. Huh? Who wants to be his best donkey? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your words of a donkey. I submit to you, Father, to be used for your will. Sanctify me, call me out. But we must be willing. Lord, if there's someone here today who's not even a donkey, who has no hope, no hope in the resurrection, is dealing with sin in their lives and saying, look, I don't know what to do. I can tell you what to do. Come to Jesus, and he'll take care of the rest. For those who just want a word of encouragement, the cross is empty. It's not ours to bear, but it is ours to call upon. We can do that. And you hear our prayers like a sweet aroma. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.